I wanted to mention to you a number of things. I had to leave that meeting because we had the senators coming in.
Sure.
And I had to come late. I thought I should come to show because all the others were there. But I had to get a briefing, which I needed. So first, I saw Mansfield briefly and told him that you had personally approved his going to China, that we were personally intervening. He said, "I want to tell you something as a friend, Henry. You and the President have always been fair and honest with me. We have our differences, but we've always understood each other." So then I talked to this group of eight senators, Benson, Stevens, Cooper.
What Benson was concerned about are our people getting chewed up. Now you understand, there's one of the group we can't control. We can't control these labor guys.
Oh, yeah. He won't blame us for
that. They're going to get hell out of
them. Oh, that's true. They're going to. No one will blame us for the labor guys.
I will say we're
in. No, I'm reporting.
Exactly.
Well, then I had this meeting with these eight senators. And I had now been meeting with senators on Vietnam for 4 years nearly. But this was like, they were like pussycats. I said to them, "Gentlemen, I'm not going to say anything. I will say nothing about the negotiations. I'll say it in front of Senator Mansfield. I do not see what good the Mansfield Amendment can do, and it might do damage. I will also tell you if the negotiations may fail with or without the Mansfield Amendment. So I'm not saying that if you don't pass it, they'll succeed. I'm not saying that if you do pass it, they will fail. But I do not see how you can responsibly pass it now when it cannot do any possible good." Mansfield was sitting there and he spoke first. He says, "I want to say to this group what I've just told Henry privately. President and I have always understood each other. We respect each other." He said, I'm not pushing this amendment. It's before you. I'm not trying to round up the votes. But I tell you honestly, I don't think I have the horses." So then we faced this problem, Mr. President. Some of our people were trying to get Stennis to come up with an amendment to the Mansfield Amendment.
Scott mentioned it to me.
To put a ceasefire in it. Now, I feel very strongly that we should vote the Mansfield Amendment up or down. Vote to strike it. And here's my reason. If it passes, I don't think it makes a hell of a lot of difference in Paris. What these guys in Paris are
wanting. Congress already preempted that ground, the Senate
Act. That's right. What the guys in Paris are watching is the McGovern percentage. If you win the election, make a goddamn bit of difference what the Senate has voted. On the other hand, if they voted and the negotiations fail, we can then say the week after the negotiations started, these guys voted the Mansfield Amendment. We never had a chance. So I've strongly urged our congressional people to get Stennis off his amendment, if you agree with it.
I agree totally. They let them vote the Mansfield Amendment up or down.
That's my
idea. Forget for them. Let them take responsibility. Let that son of a bitch McGovern and these others get on that too.
That's for them.
I couldn't agree more, totally.
That's my strong
view. Mansfield up or down, that's the order.
That's my strong view. Next, I had lunch with McCarthy. It was absolutely astonishing. He is what he's saying about McGovern is so unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. He said what McGovern reminds him of, there's a line in poetry about the childish grin of the innocent. And that's, he said, that's McGovern for us. The childish laughter of the innocent. And that's McGovern, he said. And he said there should be an investigation. He said everyone investigate Catholics or Jews for high office. He said the most unsuitable religion for high office are the Methodists because that's an entirely political religion. I'm quoting him. And entirely political religion. He said he's violently opposed to their domestic program. He said all these economic advisors that McGovern has around him hung around the fringes of his campaign, and I said, those are the sort of madmen you let write a paper and then you throw them off your campaign. He said, and this guy steps right out and reads their program. He just couldn't be stopped. He said, now he wants to pull troops out of Europe. I'm violently opposed to pulling troops out of Europe. And he said, now let's talk about Vietnam. He said, I'll do anything to help you end the war more quickly. And I said, what do you object to in the Vietnam platform? He said, they are innocents. They don't know what they're talking about. He said, we can't just turn Vietnam over to the communists. I've never said that. I said we should get out, but I didn't say we should turn it over. Well, that happens to be our position.
It's a long time since. Remember when he used to say that went far. But now we've come to his position already.
We've come to his position. And he said, why don't we have an election and fix the election in certain ways? Well, I couldn't tell him that we agreed with it. So he said, anything I can do. So I said, look, at some point, if we make a real proposition to them, it's premature, we're not yet at that point. And I think that might do us some good. You might want to take a personal trip to Paris and talk to them and tell them that you, as the father of the peace movement, think this is a good move.
Very good.
And he said, I'll do that. And he said, and what's more, I will give you public protection in this country for those positions if you take them. And he said they're a cold-eyed bunch of bastards. He said they treated him as if we were a total pariah down there.
Very Miami.
Yeah. It's very interesting. These guys are really stupid. I mean, I don't know why he's so vain. He said he wanted to be helpful. He said he has a contribution to make on Latin American politics. He said he's keeping his personal plans flexible, and I said, I can tell you, I know for a fact, God forgive me, and I said, I know the president has very high regard for you. He said, we've always thought of you as one of the most original minds in this country.
Yeah.
And
exactly the right
time. So it's after, but now I'm seeing Howard Stein on Monday. Now the Russians have agreed to this. The Russians want me to arrive in Moscow on September 10th and stay there for 2 or 3 days. They want to announce it the day after Labor Day, if that's agreeable to you. About September 7th. The way I see these talks evolving now, Mr. President, we really got tremendous mileage. We got everybody totally confused with that last private meeting. We'll have the next one on the 1st. Then I thought we'd have to run after that on the 14th, and I'll bring Porter along. Everyone will think, you know, it's a pure gimmick. But with Porter along, and then I won't meet until September 9th, the day before I go to Russia.
Go on away.
Right, I just want to tell you my thinking. You see, if we get Porter there, everyone will figure something has happened. I have a good excuse not to go because the Republican convention, then you'll be on the West Coast, I'll be with you. Japanese meeting.
Japanese meeting is
31st. 31st, that's it. I'm going, I've told State to make an inquiry and I've got Tanaka position, but I've already got Tanaka's approval. So,
well, incidentally, I told Arrow today that we were thinking about this before he took off. We'd probably get right back to State, if that's all right.
No, that's all right. I told State you were thinking about it.
Oh,
that's
fine.
Yesterday.
Oh, good.
No, we're in good shape. And we'll hear Monday. So, I think I talked to Jerry Schechter today at time. I said, Jerry, I just won't tell you anything. I said, you speculate away. stuff about this approach or that approach. I'll just give you this consolation. Anyone in this town who talks to you doesn't know anything.
That's right.
I think the more mystery we can do.
Let me ask you a couple of things. What's the situation? That goddamn Swede has got the reports of the bombing in North Vietnam. Now, that looks to be my favorite. You know, that stuff is on NBC, and I have to run that crap.
Well, we hit one sluice gate in a dike near Hanoi.
That's no, this is the dike. This is the stuff they're showing hitting civilian parts of Hanoi. I don't trust the Swedes.
Well, in Oberg, the...
I know who it is. But they ran an NBC the last year in 1970, so I hired them for you. So
I don't know.
It's working anyway. Maybe there's nothing we can do about it, knock it down, but I just think it... I don't think a hell of a lot of people care. I think you're right. Just so we aren't getting killed. I met the new North and South Vietnamese ambassador. If you should receive it yourself,
I will.
I think you should. He's a very nice little guy. He's pretty wide and so forth, but I couldn't tell he doesn't speak as good English as the other one. I had the feeling that he was telling me something about Jews, willingness to shut down or something.
We don't want that all over town.
I understand. Marsha Green was standing right there, and I didn't ask him to repeat it. I don't know what the hell he was trying to tell me. See, I didn't sit down with him.
Well, Marshall Green has been panicking him anyway, and these guys at State are dying because they know something is going on. I gave Bill enough of an account to keep him happy.
Sure.
And
it's all right, the guys at State can't settle this if we can. One other thing I was going to ask you that perhaps is obeying and so forth. I was noted that you sent me this morning. Express concern about that arm getting cut off, the same thing you did.
No, I've looked into that.
Well, that's not true.
First of all, this report that Highway 1 was interdicted, that was two companies of the North Vietnamese that lost 46 dead and 100 wounded there, so they lost half of the people. Highway 1 is not cut off. The road is open again.
Well, the second point I was going to make is that I know the battle casualties of the North Vietnamese are South Vietnamese, 577, but then they must be inflicting tremendous casualties on the other side. What is the situation
Well, they're on the offensive, so they take more casualties, but they're inflicting enormous casualties on the other side. There's no doubt there's a decisive battle brewing up there now. There's no question about that. And on the other hand, the North Vietnamese have now put in two new divisions. One, the 312s that fought all winter in the Plaine des Arts and has suffered 50% casualties up there. And we're dropping leaflets on them as they're coming down saying, if you think the Plaine des Arts was tough, wait till you come into South Vietnam. Because they suffered tremendous casualties to the few B-52s we have used up there. Second, they're now doing all the time what you got occasionally done last year. They're using as many as 90 B-52s in one place. Oh, yeah. Second, they're using the 320th Training Division. It's a division that has never fought, that's always been used for training. That's coming down. And after this next battle, if they take away, they may then... That would still be useful. But if they don't take away, even if they take Quang Tri back, which is quite possible, it's just not enough.
What the hell would the army doesn't have Quang Tri, does it?
It has 3/4 of it. All they don't have is the citadel. It's the center of town where they have these heavy walled fortifications like in Hue. And they're not making a head-on attack on it.
Sure, just arm up.
Yeah. So actually,
what I was saying, I'm not concerned about the 570 casualties. My point is that if they're taking that much, they must be grinding the hell out of the army.
Then,
if the army on the offensive takes 577, the
have suffered 60,000 deaths since this offensive started, so you have to figure another 60,000 wounded at least. And they've taken nothing. They've not taken Khartoum, and Lac, the road is now really open.
You know, the sad thing about it all, you see these Vietnamese, these pleasant, nice, space people, north or south, they're all the same. And you see their little children. And it's just a goddamn shame this war goes on. It's just a goddamn shame.
I have thought up I have thought up a rather ingenious proposal, Mr. President, if I know it sounds self-serving, but a rather ingenious one. I want to think it over the weekend. It's a modification of your January 25th one, but it has a few gimmicks in there that are face-saving for them. It's at least enough for them not to turn down right away. And then the meeting after, and I'll present that next time if you approve it. Then the week, then the following meeting, I'll offer them some understanding, such as two more drums. And with all of those understandings and that proposal, we'll be in a magnificent position. Either they'll settle, or we'll go public again and kill them.
Yeah, I think you ought to tell them, perhaps, said yes, that's the one contingency it covers. So we've got to fix that. But, you can see what their game is. But at any rate, I said, supposing we come to an agreement on this treaty, our thought is to sign it at the end of September. He said, I thought it would do you some more good if we signed it in October. And we are prepared to sign it in October. It's better. Over the last 3 weeks.
As far as I'm concerned, I just didn't want to be blatant about it. If this guy offers signing it in October, and if it suits your purpose, and they've agreed, well, they'll put it on satellite. You and Brezhnev signing it jointly, announcing.
Shut up.
Mansfield told me he didn't have to vote.
Yeah. Now, but the point is Mansfield is spiteless because he has to. But he's delighted about going to China.
Oh, Mansfield. And isn't that what he told me privately? Here he was sitting with 10 senators. He just did the absolute minimum. He said, I'm not trying to round up votes. I've had my name on amendments for the last 2 years. I can't suddenly take my name off now. He said, but I'm not rounding up votes. I don't think I have the votes. And again, he didn't just say this in my office when he talked to these senators. He gave no support to his own amendment. He just sort of said, well, we've got to vote on it because it's in the bill now. How can I take it out? But frankly, as I said to the president, I think we're better off if they pass it. If it comes to that, that if we get a compromise, because if they pass it, we can kill it in the House. We can kill it in the House, and we can blame them for having sabotaged the negotiations.
Yes, that's the